It should say a century PCE, not just century PCE. If you're joining us on the live stream right now and would like to follow along, if you go to gracelifebiblechurch.com, scroll down under recent sermons and click on the link for February 8th, and then you can load the notes and follow along with us here as we go through the lesson. So apparently I did not fix that. So Mike, I need to fix it. I want this to say a century PCE here.
Okay.
I thought I'd fix that, but apparently I didn't. Okay, lesson 277, assessing the printed history of the King James text, a century PCE. So we're continuing to work our way through this information here. I'll have more to say about it in a minute. So, introduction. In lesson 276, we examined the claim that the pure Cambridge edition of the King James Bible emerged circa 1900 and represented the final providentially purified form of the text. Our study revealed that this claim rests not on identifiable historical evidence, but on theological interpretation, selective use of historical categories, and later reconstruction. First, we demonstrated that the PCE framework depends heavily on a prophetic numerological narrative, particularly the, quote, seven purification scheme tied to Psalm 12, 6, and 7. This narrative requires a, quote, circa 1900 edition of the text, not because such an edition can be historically documented, but because it fits the eschatological structure needed for the argument. When actual bibliographic evidence is considered, such as Cambridge's own printed history and Herbert's historical catalog, no concrete edition can be identified as, quote, the first printing of the PCE, and the supposed early 20th century origins collapse under scrutiny. Second, lesson 276 showed that the PCE position introduces several internal contradictions. While it claims that the pure text existed historically, it simultaneously asserts that no edition before the early 2000s perfectly expressed it. Even Cambridge University Press has stated that they have no record of any distinct revision process or any identifiable, quote, pure Cambridge edition in their history. Instead, they describe standard editorial practice in which printers simply use the best available pattern text. This sharply contrasts with the PCE claim of a unique, divinely orchestrated final edition. Finally, the lesson highlighted the most consequential admission in the Guide to the Pure Cambridge Edition, that no printed Bible in history embodied the exact PCE text. Instead, the PCE as we know it today was reconstructed electronically by Matthew Brashear and Victory Faith Center in 2006. Thus, the first definitive PCE was not printed in 1900. It was created in the 21st century. This makes the PCE not a rediscovered historical Bible, but a modern editorial reconstruction, retroactively projected on the past, a textbook case of what I think is historical presentism. Okay? The categories are identified, then they're read in the past. Nobody in the past thought the way that the person in the present is projecting it onto the past, okay? Hey, bud, there's some notes back there, and we're on the bottom of page one. So, having established the theological, historical, logical, and methodological issues that undermine the claim of an early PCE, we are now prepared to analyze Brashear's more recent arguments and publications. Thus far, we have largely limited our analysis to the PCE position, of the PCE position, to the sixth and most recent edition of Brashear's Guide to the PCE from 2013, which I take as the flagship enunciation of the position. Beginning with this lesson, we will evaluate how these newer writings further develop and or modify the PCE narrative. So I'm going to stop right there, okay? So I have been following a project or a pattern in this class, a methodology of what is called historiography. So what I did is I took the earliest writing, the Guide to the PCE, which I think is the most consequential, and we covered that first. Now we're going to move on and say, okay, what has he said since then that is consequential upon the overall paradigm? I have always intended to tackle these works in the order in which they were written. So anything that he said, either in print or in videos, about how I'm disregarding all of this stuff, is him not I've never said I wasn't going to look at his later stuff. I said we were going to look at it organized, systematically, in chronological order. I said that back in the first lesson that we first addressed the PCE, and that's what we're doing now. So, unless otherwise noted, all the citations are taken from Bible Protector's 2004 PDF titled A Century of the Pure Cambridge Edition and the Future of the King James Bible. So again, let me get the disclaimer here. Again, I respect Brashear and his pro-King James stance. I just think that his argumentations for the PCE go too far, and I cannot bring myself to go where he wants to take things. So the disclaimer, if the PCE position was just a personal preference belief that the circa 1900 Cambridge text was slash is the most accurately printed text of the King James Bible, I would not have a problem with it. Unfortunately, however, the PCE position as enunciated by Matthew Brashear is much more than mere editorial preference. It is an exclusive King James Bible edition advocacy position that is built upon layers of doctrinal, philosophical, theological, and historical strata that need to be unpacked and understood. This is borne out by his written works, YouTube videos, and comments on the Texas Receptus Academy Facebook page. My decision to include extended coverage of the PCE position in this class is consistent with the overall theme of the class to enunciate a position on the King James Bible that begins with faith-based presuppositions and does not deny the facts of history or break the laws of logic. Our survey of the printed history of the text has been a prolonged case study in why verbatim identicality of wording is not a tenable position. So, before we move on, does anybody have any questions or comments about the introduction? Yeah.
Whenever you make that claim, circa 1900, like class last week, basically, that's just nonsense.
There it, and we're going to see in today's class that he's augmented that. Now, I don't know, I have not seen him come out and say in print that what he said previous about circa 1900 is wrong or it wasn't accurate. He's just sort of changed it.
Depends on the definition of circa.
I can't find a definition of circa that allows you a decade to two decade to three decade gap to be able to say something is circa. Circa usually means around or about. So I would use circa 1900 to say, if I were using that, I might say, if circa 1900, I might think 1899 through 1901, maybe a three-year gap there of not sure exactly where to put it, that I think would be an appropriate use of circa. Circa to go a decade or two decades or three decades after that is not an appropriate use of the word. Okay, so I don't know of anywhere in print where he has come out and said that the original circa 1900 claim is wrong. Okay?
But I mean, because you made the claims that there is no actual Bible out there, not according to Herbert's or anything.
There is no Bible circa 1900 that matches his claims. And there is no Bible historically that matches what he says the PCE is in every reading, and we'll see more of that here today in this lesson. So let's get into the main point, a century PCE. Now that's an abbreviation, just to keep it simple. In August 2024, Brashear published a PDF document on the Bible Protector website titled A Century of the Pure Cambridge Edition and the Future of the King James Bible. So every time you see, this is for hereafter going to be referred to as a century of the PCE in short, okay? While the purpose of the guide was to define, justify, and technically defend the PCE as the correct edition of the King James Bible, it functions like a handbook explaining, number one, what the PCE is, number two, how it differs from other King James Bible editions, three, why certain spellings, capitalizations, and readings are correct, and four, how to test and identify a PCE, and five, why every component, capitalization, italics, pronunciation matters, among other related subjects. In contrast, a century PCE seeks to document and celebrate the historical development and survival of the PCE from circa 1900 to 2000. It functions like a historical narrative focusing on, number one, history of Cambridge printing, two, the editorial evolution leading to the PCE, three, physical traits of PCE printings, 4, printing cultures of Cambridge, Collins, and other publishers. 4, testimonies of how the PCE spread. And 5, providential story of its preservation. The style is more historical, narrative, archival, and description, though still strongly doctrinal. So in other words, are there some differences between how the guide sets out to go about saying things and arguing things versus how a century of the PCE does this? So this is my printed copy of it. If you guys were to look at it, this is all marked up and stuff with my notes from when I read it. Okay? So, comparisons between Guide to the PCE 6th edition 2013, and we need to make a change here, Mike. This should say a century. We need to insert A there in the italics subtitle. A century PCE 2024. Matthew Vischer's two works defend the PCE with the same conclusion but notably different argumentation. The 2013 Guide to the PCE makes a doctrinal perspective case that a single, perfect, divinely preserved KJV edition must exist and identifies the PCE by a 12-point test, treating non-PCE variants as corruptions, especially spirit, capital S versus spirit, lowercase s, and leaning heavily on Pentecostal, historicist, and providential theology. Now, he might say that he never said they were corruptions, okay? But he does say that only the PCE has full what? Full light, and that there were impurities or imperfections in pre-PCE King James Bibles. Okay. By contrast, the 2024, we should change this again here, Mike, a century PCE offers a historical documentary case tracing how a family of 20th century Cambridge printings converged on a recognizable PCE profile. So notice how it's changed. It's no longer a circa 1900 printing. Now it's a family of Cambridge printings that are projecting a textual profile, not a single edition. So in other words, the argumentation has changed. Okay, let me read that again. By contrast, the 2024 A Century PCE offers a historical documentary case tracing how a family of 20th century Cambridge printings converge on a recognizable PCE profile, openly acknowledging small variations among these printings and positioning Vischer's electronic PCE as a reconstructed, standardized text distilled from multiple witnesses rather than a reprint of a single perfect historical copy. In short, 2013 argues from theological necessity to a perfect edition. 2024 argues from physical evidence to a historical tradition that Vischer then standardizes. So has the argumentation changed? Okay, page 3. The following points consider principal differences in argumentation between the two works. So let's look at the next one. From Theological Necessity 2013 to Historical Evidential Reconstruction 2024. The 2024 book argues from physical evidence and print history, not from prior premise that a single perfect edition must exist. It openly concedes the lack of a known first official PCE edition and treats the PCE as a historically emergent phenomenon across many printings. Look at the first quote from page 10. It is not known what year exactly or which people precisely made the first edition. Princeps, I guess is how you would pronounce that, of the pure Cambridge edition. So is he acknowledging that he doesn't know what year it first came? Is that very different from a circa 1900 argument from the guy? Next quote from page 46. There is no known identifiable quote first edition of the pure Cambridge edition, since its appearance is wholly quiet, unlike other editions of the King James Bible. It stands that this edition is very different. In fact, it is the last great edition and conclusion of the editing process. The pure Cambridge edition is not known because of some concentrated editorial initiative or public announcement, but rather because of a myriad of Bibles exhibiting the same particular editorial idiosyncrasies were being published by Cambridge, now watch, between the 1920s and the 1990s. So notice how circa 1900 now becomes the 1920s in a century of the PCE. Okay? Everybody with that? Point two. From a single perfect specimen, 2013, to a family profile with documented variation, 2024. The 2024 work explicitly acknowledges that the 20th century Cambridge PCE era printings were not identical. They share a profile, the key criteria, but contain minute differences among themselves. Quote from page 11. Multiple decades of printed editions of the pure Cambridge edition exist as a matter of record and fact, and though there are some very minute places where some variation might be detected outside of the list of key criteria, so that's outside of the 12 readings, as long as the text matches these key criteria and is a faithful representation also, then it is deemed what? Now, is that backing off from it has to have every jot and tittle? Okay. Next quote, page 15. The list to identify the pure Cambridge edition, the list of 12 PCE readings, is presented as an identification test, not an exhaustive set of differences or a... Let me rephrase. This is not a quote from page... It's not an exact quote from page 15. This is a compound statement from pages 11 and 15. So let me start that over again. The quote list to identify the pure Cambridge edition, the list of 12 PCE readings, is presented as an identification test, not as an exhaustive set of differences or claim that every historical copy matches in every micro detail. That's from page 11. The 12 reading list is a test only, that's a quote, and can be used to determine whether a copy is a representative of a pure Cambridge edition. Okay? So recall from lesson 273 that 6 of the 12 identifying PCE test readings specifically revolve around the capitalization case of the letter S in spirit or spirit, including the phrase Spirit of God versus Spirit of God. All 6 occur in a century PCE's 12-point identification list. Like the guide before it, a century PCE clearly teaches that 1 John 5:8 is the single most important textual marker of the PCE. The lowercase spirit is a deliberate, theologically correct reading. The PCE is defined by preserving this reading. Cambridge's 1985 change was a catastrophic departure from purity. This verse became the central test for identifying the true PCE Bible, and we've already seen that. Okay? So notice, is the argumentation shifting here? Check out the quote from page 20. It should be obvious that exactness of words, letters, and punctuation is required for exactness of meaning. But wait a minute, but I thought it didn't have to match in every micro detail anymore. So, in other words, are there self-contradictory statements in what he's saying? Okay? So again, page 20, quote, it should be very obvious that exactness of words, letters, and punctuation is required for exactness of meaning. Such distinctions in words and letters are lost and cause interference on the exactness of information if there is no regard or no effort in line with divine providence to ensure the exact precision is maintained. So look at my statement here. A century PCE teaches that, quote, exact words, letters, and punctuation are essential because exact meaning depends on precise textual form. The book argues that even the smallest details, such as capitalization, individual letters, and punctuation marks, carry doctrinal significance, and losing these distinctions distorts meaning. It claims that divine providence also preserved this exactness in the PCE, including preventing erroneous changes for decades. The author emphasizes that microscopic variations such as missing ink or altered letter forms must be corrected to maintain a perfectly pure master text. In this framework, the PCE uniquely preserves the fully exact wording, lettering, and punctuation the scriptures require for doctrinal accuracy. So, as I have read it, I perceive there to be a tension between him saying that some micro-level differences are okay and acceptable, but yet saying you have to have what? everything else be exact in order to get the cents. Next point. From the PCE already exist in perfect form, 2013, to a reconstructed, standardized master text in 2024. Bashur now describes his role post-2000 as constructing a standard electronic text by collating multiple PCE witnesses and resolving their differences, i.e. a reconstruction and standardization, not a reprint of one flawless historical copy. Page 9, quote, "With the looming dangers of various revisions, updates, alterations, and Americanizations on the wording of the King James Bible by the hands of deliberate editors, publishers, money-spinning printers, and careless website typographers, it is apparent and needful that a standard, proper, exact, and typographically pure edition of the King James Bible be made, which settled and stabilized the principal 20th century editorial work." So in other words, whatever is published between 1920 and 1990 is there variation in it, even in what he's calling PCE. So he views himself now as having to step in and stabilize that editorial work through his own efforts. Second, page 10, quote, This is why the critical edition, so to speak, of the Pure Cambridge edition of the 21st century, as produced by Matthew Bashur in Australia, stands as the actual representative of the text of this edition. So his text is the representation of the PCE position. This is what he's saying. He made no innovation but to watch. This is him saying it. But to select from the documentary record what should or should not stand. So who's deciding it? He is. As based on what had actually been printed by Cambridge University Press and secondarily what was witnessed to it by the Collins Publishers of Scotland. Page 5, I've got another quote from pages 47 through 48. When Matthew Bashur created what might be called a critical or standard electronic text of the Pure Cambridge edition, so again, he's creating it. He was able to draw on a number of representative editions from Cambridge which had this editorial text. The representatives used in the process from Cambridge include a 1938 cameo, two 1950s pit minions, some ruby amphis, these are talking about different printings, a bevere, and a broken sapphire. Further representatives from Collins were a popular clear type, a fontana, a gen, and a bevere. In the process of comparing various electronic texts together and cross-checking constantly with references to these printed Bibles, he became aware of some variations within the printed history of the Pure Cambridge edition. The making of an exact editorial, and I'm adding required, having to resolve these variations. So is he admitting that there are variations in the history of the Pure Cambridge text? Okay, page 14, quote, "The real labor, by God's help, was in the copy editing work of Matthew Bashur to ensure scrupulous correctness in an electronic text file format so that any variation as might have slipped by in any traditional printing of the Pure Cambridge edition could always be corrected against the master, which had no missing ink on a dot, wrong letter, or any other such microscopic variation that was even to be found in the best made Cambridge printings," end quote, page 14. So this was the goal of an error check master surpassing press imperfections to appear even in the best printings. These statements from 2024 make the following clear. There is no one historical Cambridge Bible that equals the final electronic text in every detail. The text that Bashur and the elders of Victory Faith Center are, quote, the guardians of, did not exist in every detail until it was created in the early 2000s. And then a final quote here from page 41. One could well argue that this is providential through the evidence of the editorial, no, through the, though, or through, though, Though the evidence of the editorial work is exhibited in this production throughout, it reinforces that the pure Cambridge edition is not based on the authority of some singular copy by some unknown editor or before the First World War, page 41. Okay, so I'm going to stop here quick. Still got a lot of ground to cover. Any comments or questions? Should be pretty clear what he's arguing here. Eric, you got something? Looks like you're deep in thought
there.
Well,
he's backpedaling pretty hard now.
Yes, why would you say that? I agree with you.
Well, I mean, he said circa 1900, now he's saying not before the First World War.
Right.
He sounds like the world's coming to an end kind of people.
I mean, I think his historicist theology probably maybe thinks that to some degree. Bottom of page 5. From Zero Tolerance Purity 2013 to Qualified Acceptance and Pastoral Grace for Imperfect PCE Printings 2024. While the 2013 guide pushes an absolute purity standard, the 2024 book repeatedly advocates forbearance toward older PCE copies that include minor anomalies. So now he wants this to be, now he wants verbal equivalence in these other ones, right? It's okay that they don't have exact coherence with his electronic copy, okay? And then there's this one here about Hamath from the Bible, arguing they remain, quote, fairly the Word of God, from pages 50 and 51. Look at this quote from page 51, quote, "It has been a fault and a danger of some to be so utterly zealous in demanding purity that they seem almost unwilling to commit to the fire pure Cambridge edition, King James Bibles, for the slight of having Hamath instead of Hemath. However, notwithstanding that in hindsight there is a pure standard to apply, there is a level of grace and also the fact of God's power overcoming any such minor matters, so that such copies have been used, are still used, and can still be used for some time into the future, and rightly so, as being fairly the Word of God, despite this exceedingly minor error." So now, is he okay with the minor error? Is he retroactively saying that if you have a historic PCE printing or PCE adjacent printing from 1920 to 1999, are you still good in using it even though it's not an identical match to his master copy? Okay? So the electronic PCE is the stabilized master. Historical PCE printings are acceptable representatives if they meet the profile, even if not every micro detail aligns, page 11, 14, 47 through 51. A PCE century teaches that non-exact pure Cambridge edition copies may still be used without condemnation, emphasizing that many older or near PCE editions, such as those containing minor variations like Hamath instead of Hemath, remain fairly the Word of God and have been used, are still used, and can still be used, rightly so, despite these exceedingly small issues. The book stresses that whole churches using such imperfect forms are, quote, not to be condemned, while still maintaining that ultimately everyone should adhere to the exact standard of the PCE, that's page 51. Earlier, it clarified that editions matching the key criteria, especially the 12 identifying tests, are, quote, deemed acceptable, even if minor microscopic variations exist. The author also allows temporary reliance on non-exact editions through annotation or hand correction when necessary, affirming that such patched copies are better than abandoning a Bible entirely. Overall, the book rejects hyper-scrupulous attitudes towards slight deviations, yet upholds the fully exact PCE is the final proper form. So again, when I read this, I see lots of contradictory statements. Okay? From asserting Cambridge's conscious PCE 2013 to documenting Cambridge's unconscious convergence in 2024, The 2024 narrative shows that Cambridge did not roll out a public named PCE project. Rather, over decades and amid changing technology, plates, and editors, Cambridge's printings converged towards what we now recognize as the PCE profile. Quoting from page 46, the PCE edition is not known because of some concrete editorial initiative or public announcement, but rather because of a myriad of Bibles exhibiting the same particular editorial idiosyncrasies were being published by Cambridge between the 1920s and the 1990s. It is providential that the Pure Cambridge was present for the heyday of traditional Bible printing, as the classical heyday of Christian personal Bible participation, where every child could have at least one of their own Bibles, which can be approximately dated between circa 1922 and 1967, after which there was a decline due to falling church attendance and modern version proliferation. So, a century PCE details plate alterations, example Geba and Geba at Ezra 2:26, and ties many changes to time-stamped production context. World War I, World War II plate losses, monotype, Morrison, Ellis, Lewis era, reinforcing an evidentiary rather than declarative origin story. Okay, so there's a bunch of, there's some documentation there on the pages. Verschoor asserts in a century PCE that Cambridge printing plates were destroyed or melted down during World War I and World War II, but he provides no documentary evidence, citations, archival references, printer references, or Cambridge University Press documentation to support these claims. Everything he says about wartime plate destruction is presented only as a narrative speculation or deduction, not as verifiable historical documentation. Okay, and last, from mostly theological proof texts in 2013 to tables, specimens, and printer timelines in 2024, a century PCE devotes major space to tabular comparisons, specimen photos, dating, not sure this word,
heuristics,
printers, names, box designs, coat of arms, product codes, and variant catalogs. This reflects a shift from polemical theology to documentary demonstration. Examples include the 12-point identification on page 11, multi-print variation tables and color keys on pages 39 through 41 and 48 through 50, and extensive printer/edition surveys on pages 3 through 8. So, the sixth edition of the guide from 2013 argues from theological necessity to a single perfect edition. In contrast, a PCE century from 2024 argues from physical evidence that the PCE is a historic tradition across many Cambridge printings, and then justifies Verschoor's role in producing the first fully standardized, error-checked electronic PCE by collating and resolving those witnesses. All right, any comments?
Didn't he say that the PCE coincided with the charismatic movement?
And he did say that.
It's now the personal heyday of personal Bibles.
It's now what?
It's now the era of personal Bibles.
He has moved from saying that it corresponded with, in the guide, we have a whole lesson about this, where he explicitly says that this coincided with the Pentecostal revival. Circa 1900. Now in this work, he's shifting it out to 1920s. Okay? Which is the next point. When was the first, at some point I might have to skip some stuff here, okay? When was the first PCE printed? Another major difference between the guide 2013 and a century PCE 2024 is when the first historic PCE editions are said to have originated. In the guide, Verschoor repeatedly states that the PCE originated circa 1900. See lessons 271 through 276 for multiple citations from the guide corroborating this. So in 2013, Verschoor places the PCE's origin around the year 1900 and treats it as a product of a definitive editorial event occurring at or near the turn of the century. See lesson 276 for more information. And the 2024 book for sure moves the origin of the PC forward in time to the 1920s and describes it not as a single event, but as a gradual emergence across many Cambridge printings. Here are key quotations. Okay, now, I'm going to read a few of these, okay? So I'll start from page 10. And some of these are, let's go to page 8. Second one there. He explicitly locates the era of PCE printings between the 1920s and the 1990s. Quote, the pure Cambridge edition is not known because of some concentrated or concrete editorial initiative or public announcement, but rather because of a myriad of Bibles. We already read this once, right? Look at the next one. Even the earliest solid examples that he identifies are from the 1920 eras forward, such as, quote, ever since the Bible Protector website was made, some people have wrongly dated the Pure Cambridge edition as 1900 rather than the actual stated circa 1900. In fact, the best evidence is that it appeared slightly and progressively from somewhere around the start of the First World War, with known examples when? From the 1920s. Okay, so that's definitely a change. Thus, the PCE century does not place the PCE around or circa 1900, but rather positions it as emerging silently and progressively from circa 1915 to 1920, with the first consistent representations appearing when? In the 1920s. Okay? Any questions there? So, in next point, acknowledgement that historic PCE editions differ. In 2013, Verschoor's Guide defined the PCE as perfect, exact, and fully fixed, at which time he made the following claims regarding the PCE position. A single final purified edition exists circa 1900. It is the exact, perfect, final form of the King James Version. Any deviation, even a letter, punctuation, or capitalization, is a corruption. The PCE is the product of divine preservation, not historical process. And last, the guide, which needs to be in italics, Mike, guide. The guide treats the PCE as a single, perfect, fixed specimen with no tolerable variation. Bottom of the page. The 2024's A century PCE there, Mike.
Yeah.
A century PCE openly acknowledges that historical PCE printings differ from each other. This is a major shift, and it directly contradicts the earlier guide's requirement of exactness. Verschoor admits that historical PCE printings contain small differences. Quote, multiple decades of printed editions of the Pure Cambridge edition exist as a matter of record and fact, and though there are some very minute places where some variation might be detected outside of the list of key criteria, as long as the text matches these key criteria and is a faithful representation also, then it is deemed what? Acceptable. That's from page 11. End quote. This cannot be reconciled with the 2013 doctrine that every jot and tittle must match exactly or it's not what?
Pure.
Page 9. A century PCE redefines the PCE as a, quote, profile rather than a perfect specimen. This completely changes what PCE means. Verschoor states the following. The Pure Cambridge edition is not known because of some concrete editorial initiative or public announcement, but rather because of a myriad of Bibles exhibiting the same peculiar editorial idiosyncrasies were being published by Cambridge between the 1920s and the 1930s. That's again from page 40. This stands in stark contrast to the guide's claim that the PCE is a final, exact, single, perfect, fixed edition originating circa 1900. In contrast, in a century PCE, the PCE is not a specific printing, not one typesetting, not a single perfect artifact, but a category, a type, a family resemblance. This is incompatible with the guide's requirements for perfection. Okay? I know I'm going fast, but I'm running out of time already and I need to make it. Matthew Verschoor's treatment of the PCE exhibits the moving the goalpost fallacy. because he changes the standard for what counts as a pure PCE when confronted with evidence that contradicts his earlier definition. In his 2013 guide, he presents the PCE as a single exact letter perfect edition produced circa 1900 and insists that even the smallest deviation disqualifies a Bible from being the true PCE, framing purity in absolute terms. However, in a Century PCE 2024, he openly acknowledges that historical PCE era Cambridge printings contain minute variation, yet are still deemed acceptable as long as they match key criteria. He further admits that the pure Cambridge edition is not based on the authority of some singular copy, and that creating an exact text required, quote, resolving these variations across multiple non-identical witnesses. To reconcile these inconsistencies, he introduces a new tolerance by saying that older PCE copies deserve grace despite this exceedingly minor issue. Since his original criteria required exact identicality, verbatim identicality, but his later criteria shows differences, once these differences are shown to exist, Verschuer effectively moves the goalpost to preserve the claim that all these editions are PCE, even though they no longer meet his earlier, stricter standard. Any comments? Okay, so at a minimum, there is an internal tension and arguably a contradiction in the logic presented in a PCE century. The book affirms a strict theory of, quote, exactness of words, letters, and punctuation is required for exact meaning. That's from page 20. And treats the PCE as a providentially, quote, settled final standard against which disputed places are judged. That's page 13. Yet it simultaneously grants permission and pastoral leniency to, quote, non-exact PCE family copies, stating that believers and churches using older or slightly variant PCE printings, quote, are not to be condemned, and that such copies, quote, have been used, are still used, and can still be used rightly as being fairly the Word of God, even while insisting that, quote, ultimately everyone should adhere to the exact standard, that's page 51. This produces a double standard. Deviations within the PCE lineage are treated as tolerable and not spiritually blameworthy, while non-PCE King James editions that fail the test of the 12 identifying criteria are implicitly disapproved of as not meeting, quote, the exact providential standard. So is there a lot of issues here?
When you say there's printed editions, did you not say there's no Bibles out there that are like this?
I'm saying there's a family of Bibles that agree with his 12-point test, but they do not agree with each other in every minute detail throughout the rest of those Bibles. And this is the point Nate raised weeks ago when he goes, well, what about the rest of the Bible? And now we're getting our answer to that here. So he, as long as it meets his list of 12 required criteria, Mike's got one right here he found in his library. He brought it this morning. As long as it meets his list of 12, then he's okay calling it a PCE, even though all of these PCE are not identical to each other in every detail of the text. Does that make sense? So, bottom of what page are we on? 9? Bottom of page 9. Verschuer edited and created the PCE text that he is the guardian of. In short, no single historical edition matches what Verschuer now defines as a PCE. Okay? He concedes that there was, quote, no singular copy that authoritatively embodied it, and that the 20th century Cambridge printings contain very minute variation, yet were still deemed, quote, acceptable if they met key criteria. He further admits the origins are unclear. It's not known what year exactly or which people precisely made the first edition of the pure Cambridge edition, and explains that producing today's exact PCE required collating non-identical witnesses and, quote, resolving these variations to create a, quote, critical or standard electronic text. His aim was a master with, quote, no ink missing or wrong letter or microscopic variation, surpassing even the best historical printings. Taken together, these statements show the PCE, as he has defined it, now did not exist in an identical letter-perfect form before his early 2000s electronic reconstruction. Does that make sense? So below is a complete citation supported list of every change or editorial in intervention Matthew Verschoor made or claims to have made in producing his electronic PCE based entirely on the text of a century. So actual changes. He makes actual changes. Okay. Variants he resolved when witnesses disagreed. These are things that he did. His unique contribution to typography and his stated editorial philosophy. Verschoor created a new, unified, exact editorial text by resolving differences among non-identical PCE printings. This is the core change. Verschoor standardized a single text out of many differing Cambridge and Collins PCEs, which themselves were not identical. See the quote above from pages 47 through 48 of a PCE century. He chose one reading. So he's choosing the reading whenever, number one, Cambridge printings differ from one another. Number two, Collins printings differed from Cambridge. Number three, earlier and later PCE printings diverged. Number four, PCE printings differed from the 1611 or 1769 traditions. Thus, he created a text with a single answer for each variation, something no historical copy ever had. You understanding what he's doing here? Okay? So he corrected microscopic typographical issues that appear even in the best Cambridge PCE printings. Verschoor produced the first version free from all typographical defects, even those Cambridge could not avoid. Okay? Now on page 11, I got a quote there again. We've already seen that quote. So go down halfway down the page. Bible Protector selected specific readings at every disputed variant between PCE printings. Whenever Cambridge or Collins PCEs disagreed, Verschoor picked a singular reading. Examples, okay? The Geba versus Gaba in Ezra 2:24, 1 Chronicles 2:25 and 13:5, Amos 6, the Hemeth-Hamath variants. 2 Kings 19:26, house tops, two words, house tops, one word, okay? Song of Solomon 6:12, I'm going to get this wrong. How do you say this guy's name? Amaminabid? Whatever. Matthew Eli versus Eli, and instructors versus instructors. So he's picking from these different variants as he's editing his text. He provides a table documenting all places where printed PCEs disagreed and where Verschoor therefore had to choose the reading. Skipping the quote, going to the next point. Practical changes made. Verschoor picked one reading in cases where PCE printings diverge. This means the electronic PCE includes editorial decisions made by Verschoor himself, not just content copied from any singular historical printing. Okay? Page 12, Verschoor restored readings he believed were correct when later PCE printings departed from them. Certain later PCE printings introduced changes at Hamath. Verschoor specifically undid some of these. For example, he removed Hamath variants. The removal of this spelling, Hemeth, entirely is not to be considered a deal breaker, but ultimately everyone should adhere to the exact standard. Practically, he restored Hemeth, where Cambridge had adopted Hamath with two M's or Hamath with one M in the 1940s, 1950s. Bible Protector enforced the PCE's key criteria in cases where historical PCE printings occasionally violated them. Historical PCEs sometimes contain lowercase spirit, where he requires capital spirit, or betrayeth, where he requires bereath. But Verschoor's electronic text enforces the 12-point test absolutely. Whenever a printed PCE disagreed with the 12 tests, Even once he fixed the reading in the electronic text. Verschoor introduced one unique typographical convention, Lords, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, apostrophe, lowercase s, using small cap S. This is the only explicit new change he acknowledges making himself. Quote from page 10. Thus, the pure Cambridge edition is no late invention, though Matthew Verschoor did one new thing in line, with actual English usage, which was to put the possessive letter S in lower case after an apostrophe when a word with all caps is used, because it is a contraction for the word his. So, the old usage of his can be seen with the King James Bible translators. Thus, Lords, notice, apostrophe, small case s, rather than 1611 era's Lords, no apostrophe s, s is capitalized, or commonly later, Lords, still all caps, apostrophe, capital S. Though it is not always readily discernible in many historical printings whether a small s is being used anyway. So does he go through the Bible and make that change? That's what he did. He notes it aligns with modern convention. He does not insist it is mandatory, but it's included in his electronic text. Therefore, Verschoor created a distinctive PCE-only typographical form, Lords, small case, apostrophe S, not consistently found in historic PCE printings. So, in summation, Verschoor made all the following changes in his electronic copy of the PCE that he edited. Reconstruction level changes. He resolved all disagreements among printed PCE witnesses. Choosing one reading where Cambridge Collins printings diverged, he eliminated typographical imperfections. Textual level changes. He restored readings he believed were the correct PCE form when later PCEs deviated. Hemeth is the example here. And he enforced his 12-point identification readings even when some historical PCEs contained exceptions. Typographical level changes. He introduced a new small cap possessive Lords to consistently represent, consistently present in historical printings. So, the electronic PCE created by Matthew Verschoor is not simply a typed copy of any historical Cambridge edition. It is, number one, a reconstructed composite. Number two, created by choosing between historically divergent readings. Number three, correcting all historical typographical imperfections. Number four, introducing at least one new stylistic change. Number five, enforcing strict textual criteria not always met by earlier PCE printings. In short, Verschoor's electronic PCE is a new standardized edition built from historical materials, not the reproduction of any one historical Bible. Okay, so I will pause here. We have 8 minutes left for me to do the conclusion. Does anybody have any questions? No? So what page are we on in the notes? Because I've been following the...
13.
Page 13?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's look at the conclusion. In a PCE century, Verschoor describes the PCE as the providentially guided and historically unveiled, quote, revelation of the pure pre-James Bible. This revelation is not new inspiration or mystical experience, but the final recognition of the correct word, letters, spellings, and punctuation. Now watch, that providence has settled in the PCE. That's the claim, page 13. The book treats this thing as the culmination of a long historical development of the King James Bible text. Bottom of page 13. Verschoor's case in a century PCE is vulnerable and historical and methods, and he openly concedes that no one can identify the editorial princess, first edition of a book of the PCE. It is not known what year or which people precisely made the first edition. And he reiterates that there is, quote, no known identifiable Bible First Edition because the PC emerged wholly quiet across many printings rather than a single documented revision event. This matters because his strongest claim that the PCE is the final and pure form rests on establishing a stable endpoint in the historical record. Yet lacking a datable first PCE printing or clear institutional documentation of its creation, he shifts the burden to his own reconstruction, asserting that his 21st century, quote, critical edition stands as the actual representative of the PCE text built by, quote, selecting from the documentary record and by copy editing a electronic master with scrupulous correctness to remove microscopic errors. At the same time, he insists on a maximal standard of textual precision, quote, exactness of words, letters, and punctuation is required for exactness in meaning, which heightens the tension between his rhetoric of, quote, exactness and the partial reality that the historical PCE cannot be pinned to a single fixed archetype. Is everybody following that? That tension deepens because the book acknowledges multiple PCE versus PCE differences across Cambridge and Collins printings, forcing him to redefine PCE operationally as a family of acceptable representatives rather than one unvarying text. He states that while decades of PCE printings exist, some very minute variation might be detected, and as long as the text matches the key criteria, then it is deemed acceptable, formalizing this with a 12 test identification list. He then documents specific internal drifts, most notably the later Hamath shifts, and other variations appearing in some PCE printings but not others, while explicitly classing at least some of these as, quote, not a deal breaker, warning against overzealous rejection of imperfect copies. Likewise, he describes publisher-specific divergences in Collins' PCE Bibles, example, a telltale capitalization at 1 Chronicles 14:10, and other variants, reinforcing that the PCE, in practice, introduced multiple streams rather than a single uniform artifact. Finally, he concedes at least one explicit modernization is in his own representative text, his, quote, one new thing preferring lords, lowercase s, possessive, over historical forms, making it easier to argue that his edition does not perfectly match any single historical setting, even as he presents it as the authoritative standard. I know this is a lot, okay? In a century PCE, For sure certainty that the PCE is, quote, the final and pure form of the King James Bible is difficult to substantiate without effectively importing an extra biblical certainty functionally equivalent to special revelation. He reportedly concedes that the foundational historical anchor is missing. It is not known what year exactly or who produced the first PCE. And he admits that there is no known identifiable first edition because the PC emerged quietly across many printings rather than as a clearly documented revision event. At the same time, he acknowledges internal variation among so-called PCE witnesses and resolves this by redefining PCE operationally. If a Bible meets select key criteria, his 12 tests, it is deemed acceptable even if other differences may persist. This move undercuts the rhetoric that purity consists in, quote, exactness of words, letters, and punctuation because the, quote, exact standard becomes a curated subset of readings rather than a demonstrably fixed historical text. The epistemic gap is then bridged by theological assertion. Providence is said to have settled the PCE such that when variants are examined, the rightness of the pure Cambridge edition is vindicated, which functions less like historical verifiable conclusion and more like a certifying premise that guarantees the results in advance. Finally, Verschuer's admission that he did, quote, one new thing, In his own representative text, example Lord small possessive s convention, further blurs the claim that his edition simply matches historical Cambridge printings, reinforcing the concern that, quote, providence is being used rhetorically to supply certainty where the documentary record is undermined or underdetermined. So in other words, is he marshaling providence as a theological construct to ensure the end conclusion that he needs to have? So he's not using providence in the normal sense, the way most theologians would understand providence. He's using it specifically in an epistemic way to come out with the results that he needs. Okay? So, two paragraphs and I think we're done. In a century PCE, providence is used as a stand-in for special revelation because it supplies certainty about a specific disputed editorial outcome that the PCE is the final pure exact form at exactly the points where the historical evidence cannot deliver the certainty. Okay? And he admits this. Verschuer admits that he cannot identify the PCE's first printed PCE. I'm not even going to read the Latin there. And even says there is, quote, no known identifiable first edition, which means there is no single datable artifact that could function as an objective historical anchor for his final form claim. He also concedes that minute differences exist among so-called PCE printings, and therefore redefines PCE as whatever passes his selected key criteria tests rather than as one fixed, perfectly attested text. Yet instead of treating that underdetermination as a limit on what can be known, he declares that providence has already settled the PCE and that when variants are examined, the PCE will be vindicated, which functions as an epistemic guarantee, i.e., a theological assertion that tells you in advance which readings must be correct. In other words, providence is not merely God-governed history. It becomes the mechanism that identifies God's preferred edition and certifies the editor's selection as definitively right, filling the same role that special revelation would fill, given knowledge of God's specific intent about an extra-biblical editorial question that the documentary record, as he himself describes it, cannot conclusively answer. Look, guys, I know this is a lot. I appreciate your patience. We'll get one more, and then we're going to have to take any comments or questions off camera. In conclusion, the PCE century, or a century PCE, represents a major recalibration of the PCE narrative. Now, here, I'll just say this. Does he have, right now, in the public space, two written documents that are in tension with each other and that oppose each other? So he needs to either take down the guide, or does he need to revise the guide again and make a new edition of the guide to match his more recent statements? Okay? In conclusion, a century PCE represents a major recalibration of the PCE narrative. Verschuer now concedes that no identifiable first edition of the PCE exists, and that the PCE emerged quietly across many Cambridge printings that share a recognizable profile, yet contain very minute differences among themselves. This shift is significant because it relocates the PCE from a single perfect historical specimen to a reconstructed tradition that required, quote, resolving variations through collation and editorial standardization in an electronic master text. Yet the central claim remains unchanged, that the PCE is the final and pure form of the King James Bible, a conclusion the book secures not by demonstrable bibliographic certainty, but by invoking divine providence as the principle that settles the PCE and guarantees its vindication. Therefore, the decisive issue before us is not whether Cambridge produced excellent Bibles, few would deny that, but whether a historically underdetermined cluster of printings can legitimately be elevated into an exclusive, doctrinally binding final standard without collapsing into a functional substitute for special revelation. So So, in the next lesson, we will look at Verschoor's most recent publication from 2025, Vintage Bibles. So, I apologize, guys. We're past time by 4 minutes. I got to turn this off, and we got to pick up and move towards